It's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on Marriage Beyond the Vows. So we know you could have been anywhere on your radio dial, but we're certainly happy you decided to stop by here. Today on the program, we're going to have an open forum. It's an opportunity for you to call in and ask any question you like, whatever is on your heart about how to maintain and improve your marriage. This is the day to get all of your questions answered. And of course, we want to make sure everything is tasteful and keep it Jesus. We want to make sure we do that. Here's the number to call. Ask whatever question you have about how to keep, how to maintain, and how to improve your marriage. Give us a call at 855-454-5905. I'm Tiffany Bacon. I'm your co-host, and here is your host with the most, Mr. Marcos Mercado. Good morning, Marcos. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning to you, Tiffany, and to all our friends who are listening, Philadelphia, Charlotte, around the world. We are so grateful that you've decided to join us this morning. And as Tiffany mentioned, we are talking about whatever's on your heart, whatever you like to talk about. So whether you're married, single, you're happily married, having a hard time, just had a question on your heart you really want us to answer, go ahead and give us a shot. See what we could do for you. We are opening up the Bible, opening up our hearts, opening up our lives to be able to help you and meet those needs. Even if it's a question that's not necessarily directed to your relationship, but you've always wanted to know about marriage or relationships. Maybe you were too afraid to ask your pastor, your minister, your parents, who knows? Mm-hmm. This is the time for you to ask these questions. Again, we want you to be tasteful, but at the same time, ask whatever's on your heart. And as always, we want to start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father and God, we are so grateful and we love you, God, and we're just delighted to know that you have the answers for us. God, sometimes we feel stuck, God. Sometimes we don't know certain things, but you tell us, Father, that you want to give us so much, Father. You want to give us life to the full. You want us to have great relationships, Father. And in a minute, as we open up your word, we'll see, Father, what you have to say for us. We love you, God. I do pray that you give me the wisdom and guidance. And as always, Father, if there are those who are reluctant or we're not even really thinking about moving on and helping and getting help for their relationship, Father, I do pray that you change their hearts and that you use us through the airwaves. We love you. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We hope and pray that today's program will enrich, empower, and encourage you towards having a great relationship. And we have our theme scripture of the day coming from Matthew chapter 7. Mm-hmm. And it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. This is Jesus himself, his own words, saying, look, you need to ask, all right, and it will be given. You know, you need to knock. Sometimes we want help, but we don't do whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes when people are about to give up on their relationship, the very first question I ask is, have you done everything you can?
Mm-hmm.
And at first they'll say, oh, I've done everything. And then as you break it down, you're like, all right, have you been to counseling?
Mm-hmm.
Have you fasted for your relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Have you prayed? Have you gotten with someone else? And, you know, you bring all these things up and they're like, well, not really. I haven't mm-hmm. done everything. You know, have you loved your spouse unconditionally? Oh, but right. They don't deserve that. He's a jerk. You know, she's difficult. Okay, but have you done your part? You know, that is the question. And so we do want to hear from you this morning.
And the number is 855-454-5905.
All right, Tiffany, you know, sometimes people ask some interesting questions.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people have questions that they don't feel like they can ask at church
mm-hmm.
because it's considered taboo. I've had conversations even recently just about intimacy
mm-hmm.
and sex and how some people have felt like, well, you know, is that even something that I could talk to my spouse about?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just want to make sure. And again, we are keeping it tasteful, but we're being honest and real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just recently I had a conversation and I was reminded of a time where I was counseling a couple about to get married. And this guy shared that, you know, he was a little bit afraid of getting married and feeling like he wasn't going to enjoy great sex in his life. Because before he was a Christian in the world, he had some, in his mind, you know, some amazing experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just give you an example. This is not, again, this is an adult conversation. So no one should be offended by this, but this is real. He was being real.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, listen, you know, the best sex I ever had, I know I wasn't a Christian, it was wrong, but, you know, this woman and I were on a trampoline. He was like, that was like the most amazing thing. And he's like, I'm afraid now that, you know, I'll get married and my wife is not going to want to be adventurous. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, you know, you got to be able to have those open conversations and say, okay, what is it that does it for you? What do you need? And a lot of times, you know, a lot of disciples, Christians, people just walk around feeling like, all right, well, I have to just kind of not have an expectation for this great part of my life, which is so wrong, because God, Jesus himself said he wants us to live life to the full. And so you should be able to have the best time, the best intimacy with your spouse, not with anyone else, not thinking about the past, but feeling like, this is the person I married. We have so much in common. We can talk about anything. You know, there's nothing that we can't be open about. And so we can share that true intimacy. So, you know, we do want to hear from you. We want, believe we have some phone calls already, and we want to be able to talk with them.
And we want to hear from you again if you have any questions about anything at all in as far as your relationship or a relationship is concerned, things you were afraid to ask in church, as Marcos just said. The number to reach us is 855-454-5905. Let's start things off by going to line two and speaking with Yvette. She has a question about intimacy. Yvette, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you?
Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, no, absolutely. You're our first caller, so congratulations. So what's on your heart this morning? What do you want to ask about relationships?
Well, I've been married with my husband now for 7 great years. We have a great relationship. We have 3 beautiful children, and we are, everything is great, and the biggest concern, and we've talked about this between him and I, is really the intimacy factor, and his drive is bigger than mine, and so I struggle with balancing, you know, trying to figure out what it is that might just prevent me from having that same type of attraction. And so I have prayed on it, I've told him I'm praying on it, and I don't know if there's anything, you know, that a particular scripture I should, you know, read, or something I should meditate on, or, you know, that might be able to just help.
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you, Yvette, and we're being transparent. That's happened in my marriage, and my wife. For years, we had that issue. I can tell you that's not the case anymore. And I remember there are times where we would even get with people and it was like, we have different sex drives. And they would say, well, that's not always going to be the case. And I was like, well, it looks like that's a far, far away time. And the reality is, if you really work together, you get there. And so you are aware of this because I take it that your husband has been expressing some needs. And you know, I guess he has some frustrations.
Yes.
So if you don't mind sharing a little bit, Yvette, like when you talk about the sex drive, like, for example, how often would he want to be intimate versus how often you would like to be intimate?
He would probably, you know, a few times a week, and I could go, you know, once a month would be fine with me.
Wow.
So we're like really off key, and I have to make a conscious, like, I have to think, it's supposed to come natural, I know, but I have to think about, okay, how long has it been? Oh my goodness, it's been too long.
Absolutely.
You know? I have to kind of coax myself into, and I find him still attractive. There's nothing wrong in our relationship. I don't know if it's the mundane things, you know, taking care of young kids, working, you know, just the regular stuff that, you know, that women tend to kind of focus on.
Well, let me ask you this. You have 3 children. How old is your youngest?
2.
Okay, 2. Have you been away without the children, just you and your husband?
We just did that this year. So we do work on trying to find the right formula for our relationship. So we for the first time since we were married, since our honeymoon, we've been away by ourselves, and that was this year for our anniversary.
Excellent, excellent. So let me ask you this, and I'm just going to make an assumption, actually. There was no problem with the intimacy then when you were away without the children?
Not really, no.
I mean, what would he say?
He probably probably would have had rather it every day since the kids weren't around.
All right, all right. This is what we're going to do, Yvette. I have a passage of a great scripture to share with you. I have some more information and some good news for you, but we will share that with you right after these messages. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back.
All right. Okay. So stay with us. No problem. Stay with us. And you can give us a call at 854-544-5905. Marriage Beyond the Vows returns right after this.
To Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise. And a very good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are having an open forum. We're inviting you to call in and ask whatever questions you may have about how to keep your marriage strong together, or how to work through a particular issue. Today is a good day to ask whatever question you have about your relationship. So give us a call, 855-454-5905. Let's go to line one and speak with Donna. Hi, Donna. You're live on the air.
No, I'm sorry. We're going back to Yvette.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're going back to Yvette.
No, it's okay. It's okay. We had her waiting. She's been patiently waiting.
That's right. Hi, Yvette. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Okay.
We're like, we're not going to forget Yvette, are we?
I'm sorry.
Okay. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 4, it says, the wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband, in the same way that husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. And I think that one of the things that I've learned, and my wife is really great at this, is she learned early on, like, it's she would never say no. And I was grateful for that. But that still wasn't enough for me. So if I had an interest, if I wanted to be intimate, my wife was like, okay, I'll be willing. But it still didn't feel special because I was like, I want her to be willing. Like, I just didn't want her to do it as a duty.
Right.
I wanted her to have that desire. And so I must confess, there are times that righteous and I was prayerful and, you know, things worked out. There were times where I just felt like, all right, well, let me kind of abstain. Let me not give her that attention. And so a week will go by sometimes, maybe not more than a week, but maybe a little bit over a week. And she's like, what? You don't have a desire. You don't need me. And she would start feeling insecure. And there were times, I'm confessing, I'm not saying this is right. And she would say, well, you know, I just feel like, you know, are you losing interest in me? And I said, no, it's just, how does that feel? And so I wasn't trying to get her back. But there's something about our needs that need to be met. And only our spouses can meet them. You know, if we're Christians, we're saying we're going to be committed to each other for the rest of our lives. So for you, Yvette, your husband, the only outlet he has, the only woman he wants and needs and can have is you. And so you got to make sure that although you have priorities with the children, that you figure out a way that you can at least once in a while, and what I mean by once in a while is probably once a week, make sure that you make it special for him. And you are going to have to make a conscious decision. And you know what? The reality is there will be times in your life where you might have more of a desire than he does. That just might not be the case right now because you've just had three children almost back to back. But the time will come when you're going to have more and more of a desire for your husband, and you don't want to ruin what God has already given you.
Right.
I hope that helps you.
Yes, that has. Thank you very much.
You know, a good friend of mine, his name is Antoine Lee. He was helping us out, and he said, he was telling my wife's name is Amaryllis. He said, Amaryllis, Marcos wants to be the only Big Mac. And, you know, like imagine that you're in the desert and there's no water. And then Marcos is a bottle of Poland Spring. Like, just like, you got to have him. Like, there's something about us men wanting to feel that desired.
Right.
It makes us feel like we're the man. And rightly so. You love your husband. I believe you. You need to let him know it and feel it. And for him, intimacy is how he's going to feel like the man. So, again, you go back and you say, listen, I took care of babysitting. Oh, one more thing really quick. As you both sit down, there are times where I had to help my wife get a lot of things done so we can have that freedom. So I would help put the kids to bed at the same time instead of just leaving it up to her. and then she's all tired and worn out, and then I expect her to have the energy to be intimate. So we worked together on doing this, and it worked wonders for us.
Okay, great.
All righty. Thank you so much, right, Yvette. We appreciate
you so
your
much.
Call. All right.
All right. Take
have
care.
Fun.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. Now we're moving on to a new caller. We have Maria on line one. Maria, good morning. You're live on the air.
Yeah, bless you. Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay.
Oh, boy. All right. Let's hear it.
Okay. Well, I'm a 42-year-old single woman. I've never been married, no children, and I'm trying to wait peacefully for my Boaz. But in the meantime, I'm wondering, is it permissible to masturbate? I do understand that, you know, when you do the math, you know, when you have two people, you know, a male and female, and they have intercourse, it's either fornication or adultery. But subtract one of those people, and it's just one person. Is masturbation basically permissible or not? And can it possibly affect marriage if and when that time does come with my mate?
Well, there's a lot that I can share about this, Maria, and we do appreciate you asking this question. It's a very open and honest question, and that's exactly what we want. We want people to just be, you know, honest, because people don't ask these questions, but they wonder in their hearts. And then if they do it, they walk around with guilt. If they don't, they're wondering, are they missing out?
The guilt, yeah.
Okay. You know, there's a few things that I need to mention. Number one, it is dangerous. Now, there will be a lot of secular therapists that would tell you that it's okay and that it's healthy. However, it doesn't help you to have that true intimacy with someone. I know married couples that I counsel that have problems with their intimacy because their spouse rather masturbate than give to each other. I know that might sound crazy from a single's point of view, but when you are intimate, you have to give of yourself. Right. And masturbation can be very selfish. And that's one angle of it, okay? So you are like basically pleasing yourself, where your husband in the future, you know, you might say, well, I prefer to please myself. He can't do it. He can't please me like I can. And that's very dangerous. And then the second one is even more important, comes from Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus himself is talking about lust in the heart. He says, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And he's talking about lust. And so if we're honest, and you seem to be very honest, the stimulation that you have when you're masturbating is usually about someone else. And so that's what's the turn on, and that's called lust. And Jesus is saying that's already adultery.
Oh God.
Because you're not keeping your heart pure. Okay. And so I tell you this much, if it were impossible for a single to live a pure life, then God would not have that standard for us. And so you're saying you're waiting for your Boaz. I believe that God knows that. But perhaps there's some things that you have to really take to him, you know, put it at the altar. It's like, God, I have needs. I have desires. I want this, but I'm not going to compromise. You know, God, when will, you know, you come through? And I'm going to do whatever I can to stay pure. Does that help you, Maria?
It does. I'm just the other small issue is that I'm hoping that I'm not, because I've been doing this for a decade and some.
Okay.
And, you know, because I don't want to, you know, I thought I didn't want to sin against God, but I don't want to also, when that time does come, I don't want to find myself, let's say, sexually frustrated because I've been pleasing myself for so long, and now I'm, you know, like I wouldn't want to feel standoffish with him if and when that time does come. So I'm hoping that with all the time that I've been doing this, that I won't become and be selfish towards him, you know, in the future.
And you know what? I think this is a time, Maria, to really surrender to God and say, God, what is it that you want me to do? Because I tell you, sometimes it's so much about the sex. I'm not going to lie to you. Sex is great. Married sex is awesome. That's the way it should be. But if it's too much about that, I counsel couples that sometimes that they can't perform. They have, you know, some kind of, you know, erectile dysfunction or something. And then And then it's like, is the marriage over because they can't please each other in that way? And so it has to be a lot deeper than that. And true intimacy, what you're talking about is a false sense of intimacy, because you're not really having that connection with your husband the way that God expects you to. And right now, you don't even know who that man is, right?
No.
So I think that, you know, just waiting. And look, I know it must be tough. We can't relate to that. I know I can't. I'm listening to you. And there's a part of me that feels like, okay, the worldliness can say, okay, well, you know, you got to take care of yourself. But
right.
Aren't we saying we're going to surrender and trust God?
Right.
All right, Maria. Hopefully this helps you. I believe that. You know, God gives you the desires of your heart. Remember that, Psalm 37:4.
Yes, he does.
All right, Maria, we thank you so much. Thank you for your openness.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, so it is an open forum today, and we're inviting you to call in and ask whatever question you may have about relationships. Reach out to us at 855-454-5905, and we are here on Praise, your inspiration station.
Absolutely. And, you know, Tiffany, I know that we've said this already, but for those that are tuning in, you can ask whatever you want. We just ask that you're tasteful. I believe that our last caller, Maria, was very open, but she was very tasteful about it. But again, it is an adult conversation. So if you have little ones around, you really don't want them to listen to this. You want to take them to another room or put on your headphones or whatever you have to do there. But we want to hear from you. We really do. We want you to be open and honest. We have the Word of God opened. We're giving you answers from the scriptures to our best of our ability. I think we have a lot of them. We have years and years of experience here. So we want to be able to help you out. We want to hear from you. And the scripture that I just shared earlier here in terms of Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus talks about lust, he talks about lusting in your heart. You know, the world a lot of times says, well, you know, if I look but I don't touch, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, really? So anyone out there who has children, who has, you know, you have loved ones, would you be okay with someone coming into your home lusting after those around you? And they're not touching. They're just looking and having, you know, undressing your daughter in front of your eyes. I mean, would that be okay? Absolutely not. I mean, if we can read people's minds and we knew what they were thinking, we would have issues with that.
A lot.
All right. So we can't say there's no big deal. I mean, that's huge. You can't trust a person. And so God sees that. God sees our hearts. And then sometimes we, God, why don't you bless me? Why don't you give me what I want? And yet we're not surrendered and we're not desiring to say, okay, God, take away these thoughts. I'm going to take every thought and make it captive and obedient to Christ.
All right. Important, important. So don't forget to reach out to us, 855-454-5905. I know we're going to go right to the phones. We have Bob who wants to address an issue, and he is calling in on line one. Bob, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hi.
Pretty good, Bob. Thank you. So you are kind of piggybacking on our previous issue there about masturbation.
Right. You know, I certainly appreciate and respect the young lady's discussion about masturbation. And I'm in a similar scenario. I'm a man who's divorced and single for almost eight years or more now. And the question of masturbation is, you know, certainly, and I agree with you, of the problems that it can present in terms of future relationships and the selfishness of it. But what does a single person do who has these drives? In my case, I've had many years of experience sexually, and now I'm without a partner, and there are times when I just physically and emotionally am responding to my masculinity. And again, you know, I'm certainly aware of what the scripture says about from Jesus saying a man looks on one to lust after in his heart, and the problems that come with that scenario, you know, that it makes you destabilized if you're trying to be pure before the Lord.
Sure.
And you're trying not to fall into some inappropriate relationship. Nonetheless, your body as a man, particularly if you've had experience with a marriage breakup, or maybe you before you were saved, you had a lot of experience, and now you're saved and you're trying to be celibate, and being celibate per se, but then now you have masturbation. One simple thought from that I wrestle with in this terms is, you know, well, isn't it better to masturbate than to fall into sin?
Well, you know, that's like, I mean, depends how you look at it, Bob. I'm just going to go to the scriptures. I was going to share something, like my personal opinion. Maybe I'll add that later. But first, let's look at the Word of God. You know, Paul actually had there were similar concerns in the church in Corinth. Remember, the Corinth church, the church in Corinthians, they did not have a Jewish background, so they were really pagans. They didn't know a lot. So they asked Paul a lot of, like, really basic questions, which is great for us because our society is a lot like Corinth. And
that's
so
right.
1 Corinthians 7, Paul says in verse 9, he says, but if they cannot control themselves, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. You know, he could have, if it was okay, he could have said, well, you know, if you can't control themselves, then let them masturbate, or let them please themselves. But instead, he says it's better to marry than to burn with passion, meaning that it's very obvious that there's a specific need that could only be met by another person that you're committed to for the rest of your life. So for you,
sure.
Bob, you say you haven't been married, you've been divorced and you've been single for 8 years. I'm not saying you rush and you marry any single woman.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it sounds to me that it's better for you to get married than to try to live the rest of your life single. And so I don't know what your standards are. Maybe coming out of the divorce is really tough, I'm sure. But if you are one of those that you feel like Paul didn't feel that way, right? We you know, it's believed that Paul felt like he had a gift. And the gift they talked about is the gift of celibacy. Like he just didn't.
It's not my gift, ultimately, yeah.
Exactly. And it's obviously not your gift. So it sounds to me that more than anything, you're going to start to have to really pray to God to send you that woman, not only because of physical needs, but there is that part. Like, God, I need this. I want to make it to heaven. I want to be righteous. I'm going to hold off. But God, as I hold off, I mean, send me the right woman. Make it clear. And I think God will meet those needs. I mean, that's what we're saying from Psalm 37, verse 4, that he gives us the desires of our hearts. And so sometimes people think they got to find the perfect person. You know, if two people love God and they love each other, it can work.
Right.
You understand? Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely. I think you're certainly right in that. And I'm looking forward to the time when God will provide the wife that I need and desire. It's the in-between time of waiting. And certainly I agree with you. It's my desire to have a pure thoughts and, you know, and purity of heart, that kind of thing. There are times when I fail that process, you know. And, you don't want to walk around in condemnation and be unreal. And you don't want to just jump on the first thing available. When you know I am a high standard man, you know, as far as that goes, you know, that I have high standards of Christian living and faith and those kind of things. But being in the flesh, we have that warfare, and I don't always win that warfare. And when other brothers ask me, well, what do you do? I am celibate. Well, what about masturbation? I say it's not the best way to go or the right way to go. But I mean, if it's a choice between sinning and and falling into adultery, and fornication, versus masturbation, I'm saying, well, if you got to pick two evils, hello.
Exactly. And you're picking two evils. But don't you think that God doesn't want you to pick one of two evils? Like, you know, it's like the difference between.
And that's why the question is masturbation so much sin or so much just, the scripture talks about sins versus weights and things of that nature, things that are not necessarily wise or good, but not necessarily sin. And that's kind of the realm where I'm kind of wondering what this is things at, because as much as it is in my heart to not yield myself to that process, yet I sin. I sometimes have a failing battle with it.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this, Bob.
I'm being honest.
Honest. So I'm going to ask you a question.
If you got a real answer, I'm really listening.
Well, here's the key. If you're really being honest and you're honest with yourself and with us, then are you able to masturbate, let's be honest, without lusting?
No, you're not.
No, I mean, that's the truth. And I appreciate that honesty because most people won't be able to answer that. They're like, oh, well, you know, look, the reality
is. I'd be sure to say, hey, you're lying, you know. But again, that's where I say the evil process is at, that, you know, that's where the danger lies. And that's where the propensity to fall into sin lies at. But, you know, at the same time, again.
Okay. Well, Bob, this is what I'm going to do. Again, we're letting the Bible speak, right? 1 Corinthians 10. Says no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. So you're not alone in this, right? Men can relate. Says, and God is faithful. He would not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Meaning that you're never caught in a position where you're against the wall and your only option is to sin. There are other alternatives, and they might not be conventional. For example, we've given this advice. Tell guys, all right, when you have that desire, go for a run. Get busy. You realize that there have even been studies done where couples, and this is bad for married couples, good for singles. So you might really want to pay attention to this. When couples are not, when their sex drive is down, when they're not able to meet each other's needs, is usually because they're so stressed out and caught up with life. People that have very demanding jobs, people that are, you know, they're in school and they're just, you know, filled with like a bunch of work that they have. They can't, you know, they're not even thinking about that. It's almost like, you know, if you like to eat, but you've ever been that consumed and busy that you forget to eat. It's the same way with sex. If you're very busy. And so what we encourage people, and it works, again, it's bad for a married couple because you want to meet each other's needs. But for a single person, if you devote yourself to something, especially something spiritual and godly, and you pour your heart into that, the reality is you'll be too busy to even struggle. I'm not saying you will never struggle, but it'll be so minimal that you'll be able to fight it off. Mm-hmm. It's when you're idle, is when you're just sitting around, when you're just hanging out. Like, that's when it's the most dangerous. And so the encouragement to you have is 1 Corinthians 10 is, look, there's no temptation. I know it's a temptation, but if God didn't think you can do it, he wouldn't put you in that situation. So the answer is always, there's always a way out. And you got to ask yourself, okay, what's the way out now? Is that the time you call a brother and start praying? Is that the time you go and you're just like, you know what? I really have needed to visit this friend who's in the hospital. I need to go do that instead of just staying home and having this temptation right now. There's always a way out.
Thank you, Brother Marcos.
All right, Bob. We thank you so much. We appreciate your openness. And
thank you.
You know, take this to heart. Take it to heart.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because it's a real scenario and something that we need to honestly talk about more and address more so that we can get more victory over this process.
Absolutely.
God bless you.
All right, brother. You too.
Thank you. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Praise Your Inspiration Station. We are Marriage Beyond the Vows, and today it's an open forum. Ask whatever question you would like regarding your relationships, and you can reach out to us at 855-454-5905. All right, so let's go to Norman calling in on line four. Norman, good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Doing great, great. Thank you so much.
Good. I'm pulling over on the side of the road because I wanted to be able to be heard clearly. Marcos, one of these days our path is going to cross. But anyway, I enjoyed your show this morning. I wanted to go a little deeper, Marcos, because I appreciated some of the things the last brother is concerned about. So I want to go to make two different points, and I want to make them real quickly because I don't want to take up a lot of your time. But the first one is the brother was talking about masturbation. I want to go a little deeper. Anytime you waste the seed of God, that's a sin. So where a lot of people miss it at is it's not just me satisfying or pleasing myself. You are wasting God's seed. So I want to make that point. Then I want to go a little deeper and go back to the garden with Adam.
Before you do that, Norman, what scripture reference are you using?
What scripture reference am I using? A lot of this ties into 1 Corinthians chapter 6.
Okay.
And so let me give you 1 Corinthians chapter 6.
I tell you why, because when you say that, you open up a bunch of issues where, you know, you really don't see in the scriptures. Like, for example, what if someone uses contraception? Technically, that can be wasting the seed.
Well, actually, I'm preferring more to the man in the sense that God has designed everything for a purpose. So any time that a man takes his body, which is God's body, and that's why I was taking you to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the body does not belong to us. The temple belongs to God. So anytime we take his body and utilize it for something other than what God intended, that's a sin. And so that's why I was saying that when a man tempts, which is along the same lines which you were sharing with the young man or the brother on the phone earlier, when you were using the word lust, lust is the word strong desire in the Greek. So anytime that a man desires something stronger than God, it is called lust.
Absolutely.
So his mind gets off into a realm and he needs to pull himself back into who he is in God, which we represent the kingdom of God on earth. But that's why I wanted to go over to Adam which really opens this up even more.
Okay, go for it real quick. Go, Norman. We're listening.
Okay, Adam Marcos actually did not realize his wife was naked until he sinned.
That's true.
So, actually, lust didn't even enter the realm until sin happened. And so I minister to a lot of brothers, Marcos, because they think their wife's body belongs to them. The body of the woman belongs to God first, mm-hmm. because he made them male and female, right?
Absolutely. You know that.
And so, yeah. And so what we've done is we've gotten it out of order. We think the body belongs to us, but it actually belongs to the Lord. We are just on loan. It's his temple.
It's a lease.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so then we go over to where Jesus says, when they were talking about divorcement, and I'm kind of giving you a whole lot in a short period of time, but Jesus says, what he has joined together, mm-hmm. let no man put asunder.
We got you.
So in summary of this, until we first marry God, the first miracle happened at a marriage. Until we get back to our relationship with God first, then everything else, even the conversation you had last week, a lot of people were asking about divorce and should I leave mm-hmm. my husband. Well, my first question to them is always, were you ever married to God?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not married to God first, everything in the natural doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
So a lot of people, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, just stick to the I mean, that's great that you had a comment about last week, but I just want to make sure we stick, and we do have callers.
I'm sorry.
We're grateful. I think this is good conversation. I think what I'm hoping that people do, because sometimes people don't, is that people go back and study these things out for themselves instead of just saying, well, I heard this on the radio, I heard someone say this, because ultimately— and I tell this to people all the time, you're going to have to face God face to face. You want to make sure that you work out your salvation with fear and trembling, that this is serious. And the
Absolutely.
Issue of lust is something that can keep you out of the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so people mm-hmm. have to make sure. I mean, we have to be, look, let's be radical. And so even the previous caller that said, okay, I'll pick the lesser of two evils. It's like, you know what? You're in a humanistic way is the lesser of two evils. But in the eyes of God, you're still choosing to do wrong. You're choosing to not trust him.
Absolutely. You know, Marcos, something that along the same lines that I think is real powerful, too, and I'll let you go, is I believe that people lust and marry. They're married and they're still in lust because they have not brought their body. Paul said, bring your body unto subjection as a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable and pleasing mm-hmm. unto God. And so even in marriage, people are lusting and making their spouses greater than God. That's
Absolutely.
Amazing to me.
All right, Norman. Well, we thank you. Thank you so much
All
for sharing that with us.
All right,
brother.
You have a great day.
You too.
Thank you,
Norman.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Take care. All right. Let's go to line two and speak with Bruce, who is a minister, and he has a comment on some previous comments. Bruce, Minister Bruce, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning, Bruce. So we're talking about this issue, and it's come up a lot, masturbation, and I believe this is your call is in reference to that same issue.
Absolutely. I was in the world for a while. And then when I became a born-again Christian, and later on I became a minister.
Okay.
The issue with masturbation began to come up. And as a young minister, I went to my pastor and I asked him, and I asked him to pray with me, excuse me,
sure.
that God would take my sex drive because I'm having an issue. He said, son, I can't pray for that because your sex drive is a gift from God so that you'll be able to reproduce when you get married.
Mm-hmm.
So that left me in a position. And so in my personal time with God, I began to take a close look at this thing. And what I found out is, in my own personal experience, the Bible is silent on masturbation. It's not silent on adultery. It's not silent on fornication, but it's silent on masturbation. Now, here's the thing. Masturbation is a sexual act. Lust is a condition of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jesus dealt with this issue, if a man look on a woman
sure.
and and lust in his heart, he brought with it committed adultery. Excuse me again. But the purpose Jesus did this because he was dealing with the scribes and the Pharisees because they were so focused on their outward appearance. Jesus was dealing with what's not being seen on the outside, what's in that mind. So he said, so look, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. So he was showing them impossible situations, which would cause them to look internally again to realize they need a Savior. Now, but when it comes to masturbation, see, a young man is watching a rated R movie, and a married couple is watching a rated R movie, and there's a sexual scene that come on that screen.
Sure.
Now, that young man is ignited with passion.
Absolutely.
That married couple is ignited with passion. See, that passion came from an R-rated movie. That's wrong, even for the married couple. But the married couple go into the intimacy of their bedroom and resolve that issue with their sexual desire. That young person that's single, he can't.
Absolutely.
So what I had to learn to do is avoid those type scenes.
Oh, absolutely. It starts.
That would keep the drive down. But here's the thing. Well, when the drive did come, here's the thing that I've learned. If I am meditating on some woman that I've seen on TV, well, then that's lust. That's lust.
Mm-hmm.
Not masturbation. That's lust. Lust is what called me to masturbate. Okay? Now, when I get to a point where my body is throbbing and I'm having an issue, then I can relieve myself, in a better term, without focusing on any individual.
Okay.
Now,
this is what we're asking. So you're able, Bruce, you're saying you're able to do this without the lust?
Absolutely. Because here's the thing. Because being single, not married. See, here's the thing.
Bruce, we're gonna have to take a break real quick. So just hold up for a second. We'll come back to you, but we have a bunch of other callers as well. So I want to encourage you when we get back. Let's just make it brief. But we appreciate this conversation. This is good stuff.
All right. Don't touch that dial. We are about to embark on the second hour of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. It is an open forum. And don't forget, we are going to be looking to our Facebook friends to find out what they're talking about, too. You have time. Go to Facebook.com/Marriage Beyond the Vows, like us, and then post your comments there. But don't worry, we'll be right back after this.